till he returns or calls me home. Man, those words alone should make you feel like you got nothing to lose. You know, when we read about Paul and Paul says to live as Christ and to die as gain, you know, that we read that and we think, oh, that's great, Paul. But till he returns or calls me home, and what that means is if we believe in Christ, either way, we're good. Either way, we live for him and trust in him. And if I live on this earth for another 80 years, awesome, because I'll be telling people about Jesus. But if I die tomorrow or today, in the presence of my Lord, yeah, that's a deal you can't find anywhere else. Praise God. The little blue truck leads the way. Now, I'm going to be making my way across the crowd today. I was told last week that I favored you all on this side. So I will do my best. I'm going to start over here. Horn went beep, engine purred, friendliest sound you ever heard. Little blue truck rolled into the city, beep, beep, beep. Isn't it pretty? Towering buildings scraped the sky. Beep said blue, the city is high. Zoom roared trucks down the avenue. The city is fast, said little blue. Shove on, shorty, yelled the double-decker bus with big red letters that said, rides are us. The grocery truck gave his horn a blast. Move it, bud. I'm first. You're last. Wee-hoo. Went the siren coming through. Busy police car. Got things to do. Swish, swash, swoosh. Went the big street sweeper. Hollering, hey, better move, little beeper. Make way, yelled the limousine. The longest car you've ever seen. I've got his honor, the mayor inside. I'm important. Move aside. Cars and trucks were all in a tangle. Everyone started to shout and wrangle. Up roared a taxi. Screech went the brakes. Stop, yelled blue. For goodness sakes, you might be fast and I might be slow, but one at a time is the way to go. Me first, said the limo, all puffed with pride. Then he gave a cough and the engine died. He was stuck right there with the mayor inside. Beep said, blue, would you like a ride? Everybody watching gave a shout when the door swung open and the mayor stepped out. His honor climbed right up on blue and gave a speech the way mayors do. My friends, he said, what a wonderful luck, this good advice from this little blue truck. One at a time is what we'll do, so single file, folks, follow blue. Trucks and buses got in line with vans and taxis, and it all went fine. A taxi let a van go past. The double-decker bus said, I'll go last. A marching band joined the big parade. Boom went the drums when the trumpet played. They rolled along the avenue, and everyone waved to little blue. They clapped their hands and yelled hooray for the little blue truck who led the way. Beep, beep, beep. Now, last week, we learned about the little blue truck and how he was nice to everybody that he met, and how sometimes we need to slow our roll a little bit. Remember, we learned about the dump truck and how the dump truck was just mean to everybody, and he ended up finding himself stuck in a big mud puddle. For those of you who weren't last week, we started a two-week sermon on the little blue truck. Okay, as a stay-at-home dad, I read a lot of children's stories, and so this little blue truck series inspired these two sermons. So there you go. Okay, and so last week we learned about the little blue truck and how he was a good example to all those around, and how he was he helped out, how he was different from the dump truck. And we learned about how we should be different. This week, we learned a little bit more. Our message, we find, as I read the kids and started to read them, we find in Matthew chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to that. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to find out this week, you know, the little blue truck, he goes to the big city. And when he gets to the big city, man, there's all kinds of things going on. There are people rooming and brooming all over the place, and they're yelling at each other, they're hollering at each other, and little blue's going, oh my goodness, what is going on? Where have I been transported to? And so he instantly begins to just continue to be who the little blue truck is. Nice and courteous, taking his time, getting from one place to the next. And he's an example to all those around him that are rooming by him, hollering at him, and doing whatever else they do. And eventually, he begins to rub off on them. As you all saw, the city changes. Because of one little blue truck that refused to give in to the way of the city, stood his ground and began to change a whole culture. I know that's not biblical there, in this little blue truck book, but we find out what Jesus tells his disciples as he leaves this earth, as he's preparing them to lead, to be disciples, they're going out to be world changers. He writes to them and he says this. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses all that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Father, as we open your word today, as we study your word, Father, we pray that you would begin to speak to us and show us the way in which we should go, Father, and how we are to live for you each and every day. Lord, help us to trust in you, to follow you each and every day. Father, we just love you so much. We ask this all in your name. Amen. So last week, the passage was Romans chapter 12, and we talked about being transformed and how the little blue truck was different and how he was changed and he was a new creation in the story we read last week, which was just the little blue truck. And we found out that the little blue truck, as he went along, we see in chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For through grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, for God has allotted each measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, for each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. If service in his service, in his serving, in his teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Verse 9 is where I'm trying to get to. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another, honor, not lagging behind, in diligence, fervent spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality." We use that passage as we read the little blue truck last week, as this big dump truck came and pushed him off the road and almost ran over all the farm animals that little blue truck was talking to. And we said, we use that passage to say, listen, folks, We are to be transformed. The first three passages in chapter 12 talks about us being transformed, not because of our own good works, but transformed because of what we believe in, that we believe in Jesus Christ. As I shared with those kids earlier, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us and begins to change who we are, and we no longer are living for ourselves, as we notice the dump truck doing, okay? But we are living to serve the Lord in this world and to serve others. And we see as that dump truck pushes all those farm animals off the road and pushes all the other cars off the road, and he gets stuck in the mud, that who comes to his aid but the little blue truck and all the farm animals? We must be different. And we continue on in this little blue truck series because the little blue truck goes to the city and he finds evil. He finds mean people. He finds people that don't want anything to do with him, that don't even care about him. And so I take you to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, where it says that you are to be the salt and the light of the earth. Jesus is telling his disciples, you are to be the salt and the light of this earth. He says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. We are to be the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Now for us, we think about salt, we think, oh, it means that we would be flavorful. No, not really. For us in our society, yes. Some commentators have said that we are to be like salt, that we should cause people, because of the way that we live, that we should cause people to thirst for what we have. The other way to think about it is think about it in their context, okay? Back in that day, you caught a bunch of fish. Are you going to just fillet them and stick them in the fridge? No, you don't have a fridge. So what did you do? You used salt to preserve your catch. And so if we use those two principles, okay, we can think of this as Jesus says this to us in either way. And the one that makes more sense is the fact that we are to preserve. And what does he mean by preserve? That we are to preserve the gospel. We are to preserve the gospel in a decaying world. We are to preserve the gospel in a decaying world. That means that we, as we go out, that we continue to tell the story of Christ, that we are fresh as meat. Has anybody ever salted meat and kept it? Anybody in here? A few people? Okay? That was the way that you preserved food back in those days. Okay? And it was a way of keeping things fresh, keeping things to where you could eat them later on. And here we have two different commentators saying, listen, we're either to be, and both of them work, and both of them are encouraging to us and understanding what Jesus is telling us to be. Either we are to cause people to thirst for Christ, or we are to preserve the message that one day we accepted as truth in our lives. We're to continue to preserve that in a world that is decaying, a world that is full of sin, a world that is constantly taking our gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and tweaking it, trying to make it their own. We are to preserve the gospel. What Jesus says, that if you put your faith and your trust in me, that you will have eternal life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. That's the only way, is through Jesus Christ. And our culture is trying to say there's more than that. There's more paths to heaven. No, that's not what the gospel is. Jesus was sent to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, and we must live each and every day preserving that gospel and causing people to thirst for truth, which is Jesus. Jesus says that we are to be the salt of the earth. But if that salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Now, there is a little bit of a history here. You see, they mine salt in these oceans, and when the oceans dry up, they put these big baskets out there, and so the salt water will come up over it, and then when it resides and the sun hits it, and it begins to evaporate, and you have these salt in this basket. But the thing is that sometimes when you mine that salt, there's something else in there sometimes. A little thing called gypsum. Anybody know what gypsum is? What we use gypsum for all the time? Drywall. Anybody want to crumble up some drywall on your steak? No. You ever eaten a little bit of drywall? It's not very good. Okay? And so here's a little history for you, that if they're trying to preserve their meats and they're mining their salt from the ocean, and they get a little bit of gypsum on there, and they accidentally rub that gypsum on that meat, guess what's going to happen? It's going to rot. It's not good for anything. And so the commentators say here, they say, listen, if we become gross, tasteless, meaning that if we are no longer preserving the gospel, okay, then we become useless. We become tasteless. How can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Folks, we are to be the preserving agent of the gospel. Day in and day out, we're to preserve that message and take that message to all we come in contact with. Amen. And make sure that we are salty. Make sure that that gypsum isn't getting mixed in there. What does that gypsum look like in our lives? False teachings? Doctrine that doesn't go along with what the Bible says? Different things like that? If we begin to believe in that type of stuff, we begin to lose our saltiness. We begin to not preserve the gospel. Jesus says, you, in verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that you may see your good, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to be the light of the world. I have a little bit, just a little bit, of an obsession with flashlights. Okay? I have to, my flashlight I carry everywhere with me. I'm not afraid of the dark. Matter of fact, when I go deer hunting and stuff, I prefer to walk to my stand in the dark. I don't want anything. It's one of those things that if there's something big out there that's going to eat me, I want as much of an advantage as he does. Okay, so I don't want him to see this little light going through the woods. Sidebar. Bottom line is, I love flashlights. I don't know what it is. It's a weakness, a sickness I have. This is 1,000 lumens, okay? It's very bright. I love it. But here's the thing. The other day, I was on searching. These are Phoenix lights that I use. And there's one out there. It's called the TK72R. 9,000 lumens.
Wow.
Nine of these bad boys, all in one, and in the palm of your hand. Palm of your hand. I'm not going to tell you the price tag because it's stupid for a flashlight. But I have this obsession with this, with light. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm shining out there in the dark. And I know some of you Crawford County guys, you got an obsession with lights too. We're not going to go there. Okay? We're not going to go there. But hear me when I say this. There's something about casting that beam out of that darkness. And it lights it all up. The brighter, the better. And it's just something that, as I was telling those kids earlier, is something that draws us to that light. I was doing a little bit of research, and the human eye, if the world was flat, the human eye can see a candle flickering 30 miles away. 30 miles away. We can see that light. Light, it attracts things. It draws us in. It draws, at a gun show, it draws men to the table. Some guys over there shining a light on them, and hey, that's pretty bright. Let me go over and see what's going on. Can I put it on my gun? Can I put it on my truck? Can I do it? You know, we love lights. I don't know what it is. And we are called to be the light of the world. So men, women, I'm not sure. You like candles. That's the same kind of thing for you. Maybe you like flashlights too. That's all good. The bottom line is that we're to be the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. Back in those days, they used, when they would build their buildings, the buildings, the outside of the buildings would have this kind of sheen to them. And when the sun would go down, if you were out in the wilderness, you could look on the hilltop and you could see those cities reflecting the light. And like we could see a candle 30 miles away, you could see that city on a hill reflecting the light of the sun going down. Do you get where I'm going? We're to be the salt of the earth. It means we're to preserve the gospel. We're to cause people to thirst for Jesus. We're to be the light of the world. We're to shine light in a dark world. We saw the little blue truck. He went into that dark city. And no matter how much he got pushed around or hollered at, he kept doing what he was called to do. And he kept to who he was. Again, a reference, I believe the little blue truck's Christian. It doesn't reference it there, but I believe it. Anyways. Bottom line is that we're to be the light of the world. We're to shine light through dark world. Like I told earlier about the bugs being attracted to our light, moth to a flame, folks, is what we should be. Where there should be so much difference about us that it's refreshing when people come in contact with us. Have you ever been lost? I mean, lost in the woods. How refreshing. Or maybe, because some of them won't admit that they've been lost. How many of you have wandered in the woods for quite a long while? And how refreshing is it when you see that light in camp, or you find your truck and you're shining your light and you see the refreshment? It's very refreshing. And that's the kind of refreshment that we should bring to others. As we shed our light, as we shine our light in this dark world, folks, we live in a dark world. We live in a world that is thirsty for Jesus, but we've got to give it to them. We've got to preserve that gospel. We've got to teach them and train them about who Jesus is and the message of Christ. Amen. That is what we are called to do. Jesus says, you are the salt and the light of this world, and you're to go, and you're to do that, and you're to do that. Why? Because you're to let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Yeah. It's not about you. Again and again, it is not about you. It's about giving God all the glory. Yeah. And if you think otherwise, I'll show you a king who was ate by worms by taking the glory of God, and I promise you, you don't want to do that. Understand, it's all about giving glory to God. It's all about bringing as many people to Christ as we possibly can. It's about living the life. Not just saying that we are who we're Christians. It's by doing. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we're going through the book of James. Okay, and James tells us, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Don't just say you're a Christian, show me. Live it out each and every day. That means in how we treat others. That means in how we do business. That means in how we live our lives. Whatever it might be, we are to live for Christ daily. No matter where we're at. You are the salt and the light. You're to preserve the gospel. You're to bring people to Jesus. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Verse 17 through 20, Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets, nor did I come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why are we the salt and the light of the earth? Because Jesus led the way. Jesus came and he fulfilled the law, he fulfilled the prophecy, and he did what he said he was going to do, and we place our faith and trust in him because he always comes through. Understand that, believe that Jesus doesn't tell lies. He doesn't break the law. He fulfills the law. He brings the law to what it should be. He fulfills the prophecy that the prophets spoke so many years ago. And if you don't understand that, go back in your Bibles and go to the Old Testament and read those in your Bible. They'll be in bold text. More than likely, if you go down and you look at the reference in your Bible, it'll take you back to the Old Testament where a prophet said, this is going to happen. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. We give him all the praise and glory. We are the salt and the light of the earth because Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophecy. And he continues to do that. And he tells us, listen, in verse 20 he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness, your right living, surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why does he say that about the scribes and the Pharisees? The scribes and the Pharisees didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe who he said he was. And so if you don't surpass in your righteousness the scribes and the Pharisees, that means you don't believe in Jesus. And so the kingdom of heaven is not yours. Because it all comes down to, it's the linchpin is Jesus. Who is Jesus in your life? What are you doing with him? And how is he transforming your life? As we read last week in Romans chapter 12. Folks, we are called to be the salt and light of the earth. We are called to do that because of what Jesus did. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us about that. He reminds us, therefore, in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run a race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Little Blue Truck didn't get weary, didn't lose heart, kept doing his thing in a world that kept trying to push him out of the way. Folks, you live in a world that is constantly saying, I don't need to hear your Jesus stuff, get out of my way, I got things to do. And all you're supposed to go is beep, beep, beep. I'm Little Blue. You live for Christ. No matter what situation you're in, you stand on the promises of Christ. You stand on what God has told us, and you lead the way. You lead the way when everybody else seems to be doing something different. And it happens more and more each and every day. Folks, we are to be the salt and the light of the earth. We are to preserve and shine. We are to preserve and shine. Christian discipleship requires a greater righteousness. Christian discipleship means if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, then I'm going to be more righteous. It means righteousness, right living. Living in what Jesus or what God has called right. We're living in Christ. We're obeying his will. If we're to follow him, Christian discipleship requires greater righteousness. It means we are completely and totally sold out to him. We are dedicated to the cause. And we are willing to go the distance. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, put off every sin that entangles us. Let us run a race with endurance. Let us run the race that is set before us. Why? Because Jesus ran the race, the author and perfecter of our faith. And once he was done, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. What does sitting down look like? Remember when Stephen gets stoned and he looks up into heaven, and what is Jesus doing? Anybody remember? You need to go back and review Acts? Jesus is standing. Stephen looks up and he sees Jesus standing. This says Jesus is sitting. Standing means I'm here, I'm with you, I'm there. Sitting means that Jesus has run the race. He has finished what he set out to do. Jesus has accomplished it. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. One day he's going to get back up. Come back, he's going to take us home. And we look forward to that day. Folks, I encourage you to live as salt and light of this earth. Preserve and shine. Why? Because Jesus led us that way. He was the example set before us. Let's go to the prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we just thank you for the many blessings you give us. And Father, we ask that we would, Lord, that we would remember to be the salt and the light of this world. Lord, to not compromise our faith, not to give in, not to take the easy road, Father, but to follow you no matter where it takes us. Whatever it is that we're called to do, Father, that we would follow you forever. Lord, that we would realize that you paved the way, that you have called us into this, Father. You've shown us the way, and Lord, we're just called to follow you, live for you, and be the salt and light of this world. Father, this morning we pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, has never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they would do that this morning. I pray that they would realize that they can't do it on their own. They can't accomplish it by themselves. Lord, they need your help. There is only one way to heaven, and it is through you, Jesus Christ. Lord, if we would just commit our lives to you, then we would give our lives to you, Father, give our hearts to you, and let you dwell in our lives, Lord, that we would inherit that kingdom. Father, I pray this morning that there would be some surrendering here. Lord, those that are surrendering their lives to you, those that are surrendering sin that might have got them entangled and trapped, Father, Lord, the surrendering that breaks them free out of that bondage and helps them to live for you each and every day. Lord, I pray that it happens. Lord, we pray that you do a big work here in our church. Continue to show us, Father, that we are to be that salt and that light, Father, in the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we treat others. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be working towards that. Transform us as we learned last week, Lord, in the creation that you want us to be. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that I have to preach your word, to be your microphone. And God, I just pray that as we enter this time of worship, you would begin to do work in our lives. Lord, that we would begin to do it. I love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Every song I sing, oppressed, where's mercy with my Lord? And here I shall be, here to rest, I trust in him.